When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
This is a conference finals week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Bridges, six to shoot, slings it over to Hart. His three, good! Tying the NBA playoff record for threes and a half. That's 18 for the Knicks.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, conference finals week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only, or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend.
Shout out the Hoggies.
Hoggies were out there, out and about this weekend. Looks like we got some nice weather ahead. That little brief period of rain has come and gone. Nothing but sunshine in the skies for the days to come.
Tough to stay at a nice cabin in the woods when it just pisses rain
all day. Did it rain on you the whole time?
Yeah, and then we had a window, so we were like, let's go to Frog Lake. It's kind of close.
Let's get quick. Yeah, go.
Snowstorm. In May.
A middle of May snowstorm, huh? I made it up. Elevation's up there. You know, it is what it is.
It's crazy how little snow there is up there, by the way.
That's got to be pretty
wild. It was depressing. Like, there was nobody at Meadow or Ski Bowl.
Sure.
Nobody driving up.
Like, how long does the ski season usually go? I'm not a mountain man. I'm not aware of what the time frame usually is.
I always thought it went to about now, if not early June.
Okay.
And
nothing. I mean,
year,
I know the tippy top will hold snow for most, because don't they, like, in the past, haven't they done, like, U.S.
skiing
stuff?
The Palmer Run that's up at the top of Timberline?
The skiing economy up there just took an absolute dump.
Well, Bachelor was horrible this year, too.
Yeah.
Pax was telling me, they shut it down a lot earlier.
Not good for our runoff.
There were a lot of runs that still had exposed rock and stuff like that.
That's terrifying.
So
not good, Bob. Not good. It's been incredibly mild spring. I mean, look, the nice weather is nice, but you know you're going to pay for it at the back end of it probably at some point this summer. How about this right now? Let's cheer you up after that depressing start to the hour.
Yeah.
If you text the word journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y. Do you know that's how you spell journey?
I'm just a young town girl.
Yes, you are. To 503-864-6326. You will be entered for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Journey. That's right. September 19th, 2026 at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. As they're coming to town again, pair of tickets to see Journey. Text Journey, 503-864-6326. Head over to 1051thefan.com for complete details. I got some NBA musings I'd like to get to in this segment, because we'll probably wrap up the Dundon stuff. I do have one more bit of audio. Before we get to that, wanted to read a couple of thoughts that came in on the fan text line. 503-864-6326, which is where you can also text Journey. I thought that was a good point. Somebody said, I think most people who don't see him hanging out with his staff in the lunchroom, it makes a difference when the top dog of the company comes down and interacts with people lower in the chain. Makes a difference when they come shake your hand, feed you, get to know you. I worked for a company where the CEO walked around, handed out gifts, shook every employee's hand. Mm-hmm. It meant a lot. Whether they truly cared or not, it made a difference. That was the funny, spin on that story, because that was the first big one I felt like we reacted to. Maybe I'm wrong on my timeline of things. When it was, they didn't, they checked out early in Phoenix. That might have been before the two-way guys. Anyway, I can't remember, but I just remember
it was before the...
Okay, that became a very big deal of, like, how could you possibly do this? This shows how cheap he is. And when you just get, again, maybe he's misleading us. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but I'm gonna believe his word. When he highlights, it's me hanging down in a ballroom. We have a ballroom in the hotel. Come have some lunch. It just, the difference of spin from where the story originally came from to the form it was in when he told it could not have been more drastically different. And there was a reaction for me at the end of it when he says, like, hey, if you got an issue with this, maybe you're not a part of our culture. And if that's too hard for you as an employee to come down at 1 o'clock and hang out in a ballroom for 45 minutes with the owner of the Blazers and eat a free lunch, like, yeah, man, maybe this isn't the place for you.
You know, I think a lot of people have experienced changes within their companies in the last 15 years or so, right? Like, I can tell you my experience at The Fan from when I started to what it's at now. Like, our boss now is fantastic.
Yes.
Right? Talk about being personable, walking around, talking to everybody, getting into conversation. The one before him, she was great. And she was a breath of fresh air because the one before her was walking with his head down in the hallway, barely acknowledging your existence.
Yeah, never knew our names.
And the one before that was great if he was in a good mood.
Yeah.
So, like, I think a lot of it just depends on what you're looking for. Some people don't need a boss to care about them to operate and be just fine. I know I kind of operate that way, but I also can acknowledge how much of a vibe change it can be when you have a boss that seems to care and ask and
be
talk
engaged and have conversations with you.
Yeah, not just be like, go perform and then, you know, there's the check. See you later. Like,
let me see the numbers on the spreadsheet. You brought in 2.4% this month, and last month it was 3.6%.
I also think the part of this that's tough is, especially in the writing the pieces business or the opinion game, you're just going to get people that will tell you he's a liar. Or you'll get people to say, oh, that's not what happened. Trust me. I know people that were there and they told me, and he's a billionaire. He's a liar. I mean, sure, I guess if you want to go that direction, you certainly can. But he doesn't sound like somebody off the cuff lying.
No.
Like the two-way thing. He took onus on the two-way thing.
Technically, Cronin was the one lying at media day or at the exit interviews because he fell on the sword, which some assumed that that was probably the case. And
right.
Dundon came out and was like, yeah, dude, that was me. I said no, and I didn't understand the culture of the NBA.
I didn't understand why that was a big deal, and it was explained to me, and guess what they did?
They sent him.
They flew him out for the next road game. So I think today this doesn't change certain people's takes and opinions, and that's fine. It's not meant to. We'll play the Moda Center cut here in a second, and
yeah.
I don't know if that'll change much of anything, because you'll get one writer will continue to sound the alarms that he's going to move the team. Another writer's been talking about it for 48 years that they're going to move the team and they're not going to stay in Portland. Another writer's going to tell you, well, if they get a deal done, it's because I wrote about it. So,
right,
like,
right.
I think we're just sitting in a weird spot with people that this is all they've talked about now, and he is just telling you, I think, point blank, the same thing he's always told you. We had an agreed-upon deal when I bought the team. We get the deal done, no big deal.
Yeah.
They thought I was going to do this with hockey, and I didn't. We got a deal done, and everything's going pretty smoothly in Raleigh. So
yeah, before we get to that last bit, I'll just read two more quick thoughts here. Somebody said, it made a difference. Sure, we all love a company pizza party. It doesn't make my work any better. And it's fine to have that perspective. Like, not everybody needs to be impacted by the boss coming down and glad handling with you. The main point takeaway is the story was spun as if it was a disaster and these employees were in chaos and carrying four suitcases through the hallways and through the lobby of the hotel with nowhere to go hours before an NBA game. It's simply to point out that the way the story was spun initially is not, according to the owner of the team who said he was there, how it actually transpired. And you might not be impacted by having lunch with your boss because you don't think he actually cares about you. It's not going to make you work harder. That's fine. The point of the story simply was it was not this massive issue that some made it out to be when it's 45 minutes until lunchtime and we're hanging out in the ballroom of a hotel. You're going to be just fine. My suitcases are down here too. Another one, I think a lot of people got fat and happy with Jody Allen and the Vulcans not paying attention, letting them do whatever the hell they wanted to. And our guy Orem is certainly a hot topic right now, and he's been banging the drum on this idea that the team might leave.
He's getting into it with city council members.
Getting into it with city council members and yelling about all that, but I will go back to an interview that we did with him as this sale was being finalized. That's a point he brought up, is that you had a person who was running the team who didn't really care about the day-to-day, didn't really follow it that closely, and money was no object to them because they didn't earn their money, and it just was a legacy thing. And, hey, you need that? Sure, whatever. All right, you want this approved? Yeah, by all means, go do it. And so I think there is a lot of that going on inside the organization right now where you're just going to be run differently. I saw one of our listeners bring up this weekend the idea of giving Dundon a chance, and it was like, man, in the last 20 years, outside of drafting Damian Lillard, what has this organization done? There's been a lot of nothingness. There's been a lot of non-success. There's been a lot of non-standards. And so the idea of trying something new doesn't have to be this fear-mongering, oh, my God, how could this possibly work out? Like, I'm all for a new set of highs and a new strategy because we haven't done anything in a long time.
For some, though, that are, like, just about basketball, like, that's their whole sports ecosystem, Sarver gets brought up.
Yeah.
Donald Sterling gets brought up. It's the cheap factor. It's the you're going to cost them the signing of a player because you'd rather sign the 14-day two-way guy that's going to save you X amount of dollars. And we have to kind of wait and see if that's going to be the real deal. I also don't want to act like we didn't just bring in Caleb Love this year as like one of our savior points because of injuries, right? Like, our depth wasn't amazing. I think we learned that about the team this year.
Yes.
Denny had a good season and some other guys had okay seasons, but largely it was like, who's stepping up today? Oh, it's two-way guy Caleb Love. So does that make Jody and the Vulcans the worst possible situation? I mean, look, every company goes through changes. They have to evolve. Some of it sucks. Like, there's no doubt about that. There's a lot of people in different industries that'll tell you how much better things were a handful or if not longer ago. I know you and I, like, we can relate to this a little bit. Every year, the fan went to every duck big playoff game
sure.
or bowl game, right?
Yeah, go back in the day for the station's history. Yeah, it was a big thing.
It doesn't really happen anymore.
No.
Every year, we went to Pac-12 Media Day. You and I got to do that one time. And I know Isaac Atsuk went many a years and watched Jim Sooty swim backwards in a thong in a pool. And, you know, like Swag used to go on trips. And fast forward a year later, two years later in the Big Ten, we sent just Swag to Big Ten Media Day.
Right.
Could we have benefited as a show getting there and meeting people in the Big Ten media climate? Certainly. Did we run to somebody and go, you know, actually at Odyssey, I don't know if my future feels as certain anymore because we're not going, and say that off the air, off the record. Like, we could do that, but we don't. Like, you have to evolve, you have to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of what you're talking about in the hotel situation is like people that are accustomed to a certain lifestyle. And again, I don't know how this is going to age. What? We have to go to the ballroom with our bags right now?
Excuse me?
And some people, that rubs them the wrong way, and they run to tell whoever they can tell to get it written about.
Right. My ultimate take has not changed at all, and that is the idea that as long as you're not cheap when it comes to winning and putting a roster on the floor and the edges and the competitive advantages that your team needs, I have no issue with cheapness elsewhere in the organization. And my point just will not change. When you see it impacting the team, I can understand having a problem with it. Off the floor, it just doesn't bother me that much. One last one here from Tom Dundon. This is from the Game Over podcast over the weekend. They talked, I don't know exactly how long it was. I want to say about 30 minutes, give or take. So there's a lot more in there than what we just simply pulled. We pulled five clips. But obviously the big one, the big elephant in the room is, hey, do you know we're going to be the Kalamazoo Kazoos in a couple of years?
Mm.
Tom, you're moving the franchise. His reaction to that and the funding package for the Blazers.
Yeah, I mean, when I bought the Hurricanes, all I heard was, because I was from Texas, we were going to move the team to Houston. You know, moving a team's difficult. People grew up loving the team.
How would that work? Well, I guess you could.
4 million people.
There's no hockey team in Houston.
Oh, you bought the Hurricanes. Oh, sorry. I misheard you there.
And so, you know, we didn't move the Hurricanes. We ended up getting a deal done. And we went through the same thing in Portland. I, you know, before I even bought the team, I had an agreement with the city and the state. We had an agreement in principle. They've already approved half of it. You know, assuming that all gets done, then this is a non-story. So, you know, for me, it's never been really a thing. You know, you didn't buy the team to move it. We right. bought the Portland Trailblazers.
But if you have to, if you're not getting the support from the city or the state, you know, it puts you in a tough spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, we would deal with that if it ever comes up, but
hopefully it
obviously
doesn't.
We have to solve problems when we have problems. Today, the problem we're trying to solve is just to get a lease extension and get the building renovated. And you know, those are fun things to do, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You know, making the building better and adding some energy to that building is, like, those are things I enjoy doing.
So there's Tom Dundon, Rich Paul pushing back. Yeah, but what if, Tom? What if? He didn't even take the bait.
Well, I'm kind of glad he did, though. Yeah. Like, somebody in that interview setting should be asking, like, what if they don't? And
yes.
then, you know, he gave you the typical owner stance of, like, well, if
we'll
we
adjust
get to that
and
bridge,
we'll
figure out how to cross it when we do. But,
yeah.
I mean, the thing he talked about in the press conference, because to me that answer wasn't any different than what he has said before, that everybody had this fear-mongering about him when he bought the hockey team and it didn't happen, and I don't know, man. All I can do is take him at his word, and if reporters want to say that it's something else according to so-and-so that they don't want to name publicly, I don't know what to make of it. He's basically said to you multiple times, I want to work on a lease agreement and I want to renovate the Moda Center, because the one thing he admitted to the press conference that he also reiterated there, he's a nerd.
Yeah.
He loves to geek out on the experience and making everything cool. And
how do you get into the arena quicker line shorter and all of that is important to him.
And we know, like, he hasn't really talked about it much. We know he wants a district. Like, he did that in Carolina. So, of course, he wants to do that here. And I know he wants to win. He also does want to make money.
Of course,
like he doesn't would be ridiculous. So those things make you more money. If the experience is better and he cares about spending in the areas to win, I think he views it as a double positive. He's going to make money while he's watching his team at least compete and try to win. So
yeah,
his answer is kind of the same as it was at the introductory press conference. A lot of fear mongering. if the city gets their S together and agrees to the deal that sounds like they agreed to him when he bought the team.
Yeah, the funding package that he put forward was clearly a part of his vision of how he wanted this to look. I'm buying the team. You guys own the stadium. Let's get to $600 million. How do we get there?
And we already know the state's committed to it.
Already so half of it's already been approved.
City county stuff has to figure itself out. And if it does, it doesn't sound like it's a big deal to him to sign whatever the length of the lease is. 20 years, 25 years, and maybe the city will get 25 and we can finally dead this conversation for the rest of our professional lives because when I'm 80, I won't care anymore.
Teddy will not live in a Portland that does not have the Blazers playing at the Motor Center.
Well, he'll be hosting
right?
a show talking about, are we going to leave now?
Be the legacy.
Tom Dundon Jr. out here is threatening us.
Could be a Nepo radio hire and just make him the producer of the show 40 years from now. Let's figure this thing out.
I'm trying to see how old is Tommy D. So he's 25. If they got like a 20-year lease... Yeah, his kid's going to be Stephen Jones. Yeah. His kid will be running the team. We've got Tom Dundon Jr. out here.
Yeah, it just, I mean, the last thing on the stadium, too, is as we kind of wrap up this Tom Dundon conversation, I have to keep reminding myself throughout this debate and debacle. I certainly understand the fear of the city council and the county, and we got some wackos, and what are they going to do? I understand that sentiment. The irony of this whole thing to me is that simply we own the Moda Center now. The city of Portland owns the Moda Center. And so whether the Blazers are playing in it or not, what's the arena going to need? Whether they're here or not, you're going to have to renovate the arena. Do you want concerts to come to town? Do you realize we have a new WNBA team that just started that is now playing there?
Mm.
Like there's events that take place. Like it just at some point you're going to have to renovate it, whether it's for the Blazers or anybody else. And so the idea of playing chicken with this topic is just a tad absurd to me, and I ultimately still believe that calmer heads will prevail and they'll understand that. It's one thing if the organization and Tom Dundon bought the Blazers and the Moda Center was a part of that package and he owned the arena and then was coming to us to say pay $700 million or $600 million for renovations for the building that we own the building. It's ours now. The Allen Estate sold it to the city of Portland. And so I still believe that something will get done there. And the last thing is we put a bow on the conversation that I think you kind of touched on in the last segment, and that is simply there's been a lot of things the Blazers have done over the years that have kind of lost their way with me as a fan where it's just I have a hard time reacting to it or taking them seriously. And one of the things that always happened in those moments in the last 10 or so years is that there was never an answer from it from the top part of the organization. Like, I'll pinpoint the moment that kind of ended my modern fan, not ended the fandom, but just really turned me off to them, because I'll always be a fan, was the idea of losing in the first round of the playoffs to Denver, Dame having a historic run. In that offseason, they fired their head coach, who now wants to come back, ironically, extended the general manager and did nothing to change the roster. Like, it just, that you lost me there because I could not see the forest through the trees.
Oh, it was an absolute idiotic
move. It was
a
disastrous offseason, and the owner of the organization was nowhere to be found to be held accountable to answer questions about what are we doing here?
Yeah, and it was only Neil.
On top of that, Neil then hired his buddy to be the head coach in Chauncey Billups, who had allegations from his past come out and had to sip a water bottle at a press conference
to shut down questions
from the media. Like that.
He then was arrested by the FBI.
We act as if this was 40 years ago sometimes. That's not that long ago.
We also act like we've been a competing highest spending franchise in the NBA the last 4 years, and that's just not been the case. We've been the definition. I'll say this. You don't have to, because I think what you're harking on here is fine. Like, I will watch, even when it's bad, I'll watch and follow it a little bit more, right?
Of course. We talk about it whether they're good or bad.
No doubt. But I understand a lot of fans that have the sentiment you have. I'll say this, man. We have largely been sitting, and this year was a little more than it has been, but we've largely been sitting in one of the more irrelevant places in the entire league.
Not good enough, not bad enough.
Whenever I listen to a well-known pod, name it, whoever it is.
Zach Lowe, Bill
Do you know
Simmons.
How many pods I listen to and they talk about the West and they never mention us?
Yeah.
And this year they finally mentioned us a little more because, oh, they had some chippy little wings out there. Oh, Denny's having a fun season. But it never was like on the same conversation levels as fill-in-the-blank teams, right? You don't have to like this guy. You don't have to trust this guy. You can have your antennas up and you can wonder if he's going to ruin all of this. Dude, he has made the franchise so much more relevant than they've been the last 4 years by just talking.
Just existing, yeah.
And existing. And that doesn't have to mean everything to everybody. But God, to actually be talked about and considered as a topic and to make our lives more fun and interesting, it's been a breath of fresh air because the run it back, awful coach, losing by 60 multiple times in a year. Now he's arrested by the FBI. there has been, without a doubt, in my opinion, and I think yours, the memory holing of what the organization has been right. for largely four of the last 5 years
right.
has been so egregious in this market by the media. And I don't know if this guy's going to win. I don't know if he's going to ruin everything.
We have no idea.
But God, it's been a bit of a breath of fresh air for me.
Yeah, it just, I mean, that moment and then to have it feel like this is the end of the Lillard era and this is how we're going to send him out by hiring an unproven head coach, not making any changes to the roster and letting the GM continue and never once having the ability to ask the owner, hey, what are we doing here? Why is this the call? Why did you fire the head coach? Why is the GM still here? Why are you not making massive? Like, there was never the ability to do that. And so for all the issues that have existed over the last month, and they keep popping up, T-shirts and two-way players and hotel checkouts, here is a sit-down interview where he answers everyone in a long-winded form and gives you his side of the story and the explanation.
I just want to ask you, like, you know the market, you know the climate, you know the media members. I just want to ask you, like, how would it have sat with all of the media members? If Tom Dundon gets the gig, he's the owner, we fire the general manager because of harassment claims internally, and he offers zero interviews to any candidate and hands it to somebody you don't know anything about.
We would have issues with it. Immediately.
Issues, we'd be screaming at the mountaintops.
Yes.
But the last ownership group did it, and maybe Joe will end up being the right guy for the gig. And
could be.
You know what? Let's see where it goes. But it's just funny that, like, if Dundon did that, it'd be the biggest deal in the world.
Yes.
But the Vulcans did it, didn't hear a peep.
Good stuff from Tom Dundon. Go check out the entire podcast, Game Over. I don't listen to the podcast. The Dundon thing was good, interesting, and a lot to take from it. Some that we didn't even get to today that maybe we'll holster for later on, coming up this summer. Let's get to a couple of the notes out of the NBA, and that is we finally get the Titanic matchup we've been waiting for. Next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, we're done yelling about Tom Dundon. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Were we yelling?
No, we weren't. I just like joking about it. Until Tommy D does his next hit of me. There was actually more stuff in there that we could have pulled, but that's probably enough radio on Tom Dundon for one day. His draft combine stuff was pretty good. There was a moment at the end.
His kid being cheap and bragging about it
really
to him
funny.
Was hilarious.
Yeah, that was really funny. The Young Hansen, no, I'm not going to do that moment to Young Hansen's agent was hilarious at the end. Also, by the way, totally lost in translation for me too.
Yeah.
What sweatshirt was Chance wearing when he walked out of the federal courthouse?
Clutch.
Aha. Uh-huh. Who does Rich Paul own?
Yeah, he's Clutch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who like very awkwardly defended Chauncey Billups for like a 3-minute stretch at the end of this podcast to Tom Dundon? Rich Paul did, and it was like look, we were all surprised by this. Like he went into this whole soliloquy defending Chauncey
Clutch
Billups.
Clutch make orange jumpsuits.
Yeah.
They make ankle monitors. I'm just curious here.
That was really awkward and uncomfortable. We can move on, though, because I don't know if you've heard this, Brandon Sprague. Hello. Good morning.
There's a lot more in the sports world we can get to today.
Do you know what week it is here on The Fan?
Yeah, I do.
It is conference.
It's my daughter's birthday week.
Ooh, that
should
have been the sponsor.
Brought to you by
My Little Pony. Who's the sponsor for him?
My Little Pony.
Which the oldest or youngest? Which birthday?
Well, it's the youngest, but she's turning 10
over the My Little Pony days.
And she'd be offended that you threw
that
out there. She was never a My Little Pony.
She want to punch me.
Yep.
It is conference championship week, ladies and gentlemen. On top of being the Sprague's daughter's birthday, and that means that tonight we get the series that we've all been waiting for. We've been wanting to fast forward to this moment.
We have.
The NBA playoffs have been interesting because you and I can debate first round, second round. Like, we've had a lot of game sevens, or not a lot, but a decent amount of game sevens, I should say.
Yep.
And the game sevens have largely been duds and blowouts, including last night. The game six, like, I didn't have much hope that Minnesota was going to win the series, but you're at home. It's one of those weird, like, Friday night moments we're not going to talk about a ton on Monday. That game sucked, dude. Like, I was relatively excited for game six in Minnesota.
Were you?
It was going to look. Like, I didn't know. I didn't think Minnesota was going to win the series, but they had shown that they could win a game in the series. Maybe you get a game seven in San Antonio on Sunday, and instead it's an 800-point win with Anthony Edwards dabbing up the other team, and we can get to that in a moment. But just your initial thoughts that we finally get to start Thunder versus Spurs tonight.
Well, let's start it with this, where Sprague was right. I told you the more likely series to go seven was Detroit-Cleveland. I didn't know Game 7 would be as bad as it was, but...
How do you lose at home and then win like that on the road in Game 7?
Yeah. Well, no, it'd be the reverse, right?
No, I thought the Cavs were up 3-2. Didn't they lose Game 6 at home?
Yeah, the Cavs. Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I thought you were
I'm just saying, like, how did the Cavs lose Game 6 on their home floor?
I'd flip it.
Close out.
How did the Pistons beat Cleveland and lose by 30 points? That's crazy. Right. And then Minnesota and San Antonio, like, I understand what you're saying of had won a game, and I had no confidence after Game 5 that series was going to go. Just none. And then, like, I turned it on, and I'm like,
yep.
All right, well, that's it. I mean, the biggest controversy in that series ended up being in the last 8 minutes.
Anthony Edwards dabbing up the team.
I've never seen that.
Never.
I've never seen a player in any sport at any point just completely stop playing and go over to the bench and dap everybody up as if it was 10 seconds left and he was going to just leave the court with his towel on his head pissed that he lost. Like that, I'd understand. There were 8 minutes left, 8 and some change. And
walked
I know
over
you're down 35, but what are you doing?
Now,
even Chris Finch was like, what? What's going on here, dude?
Now, put some context in this for me, because I just saw the quick clip of him doing it. So it's in the middle of a timeout?
I believe it was a...
Because there was eight or nine minutes to go.
It was a free throw going timeout situation.
Okay.
Let me make sure I have
so
that
So basically
right.
the teams are
point,
walking
like
to their bench.
I'm paying attention to the game. I'm
right.
Like,
I didn't have it on anymore.
This is terrible.
It was the nightcap on Friday, and if you're that uncompetitive, I'm not watching. I'm watching other things.
And I don't blame you for that.
And there was other stuff going on. I can't remember. Maybe I was watching a Giants game. I can't remember. But anyways, I just saw the clip, and I was curious of the timing of it.
Yeah, like, it was. It was a timeout. Yeah.
So it's a timeout.
It's crazy.
Is he on the floor playing?
So the Spurs are on their bench. The Timberwolves are on their bench. He walks over.
During the timeout.
Like the refs
That's
at the
even
free
worse.
Throw line.
That's
and
even
the,
worse.
The lights are going on, and they're trying to just keep anybody there engaged anymore. The game's over. And he literally goes over into the middle of their, like the coaches are still meeting for the Spurs. He goes into the player huddle and starts dapping everybody up. And then he walked over, and Finch is like,
what are you doing,
What
dude?
Are you doing?
It's still the fourth quarter.
That
I know
it.
The game's over, but come on, man.
Well, I know it's over, but like, I'd never seen that, and he said in the post game, I think he said something effective like, I was just trying to pay my respects to the team, and I know he's not coming back in, but dude, like, you can't do that for 20 seconds after the game?
Yeah, you can do it later.
The series is over. That's usually what we do. Look, again, if it's a minute left, the clock is
running down and you're dribbling it out. Yeah,
yeah
whatever,
like, I understand it.
Sure.
8 minutes to go is a pretty wild thing to see in a game during a timeout.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted the context, because it would have been one thing, like, if he's on the floor, you're down by 40, you're getting subbed out with 9 minutes to go, because why still play anybody down by 40 with 9 minutes to go? And he's, like, on that end of the floor, there's a timeout, he knows that he's checking out, and you're just over by their bench, and you happen to lean over and be like, hey, good series, guys. That's different than walking over in the middle of a timeout. And for a guy who, by the way, has gotten the label of, in terms of modern players, more of an old-school guy, like talking trash, competitive spirit, he's got this Michael Jordan, Kobe killer instinct we've given him credit for, that's something you would have never seen those guys
do. Yeah, and look, I'm okay with a teachable moment. I'm not going to rush to the... I think the take today is,
has
like,
he lost
is he a
his killer instinct? I think he has.
No, I'm not going to go that far either. But like this whole, like, did he quit on his team? I'm like, yeah, dude, the game was over. The team had kind of quit itself. They were down, what, 33 points or whatever it was at that point. That's not like I quit on my team. It's just bizarre behavior.
You can do it after the game. Simple as that. You go do it after the game.
You can Google what he's done off the court. He's already had teachable moments off the court of what not to do while on camera.
Got a few of them.
Here's a teachable moment on camera during a game, what not to do. And something tells me we won't see him do this again.
No.
But I thought that was just a bizarre scene for a game where I was watching and I'm like, yeah, this is going about the way I thought it would. And I have it on my phone at the cabin. We're watching a movie. And I look down and I'm like, what the hell
is
happening
going on? Right now?
I was so confused.
That?
I thought the clock was wrong.
Yeah.
So just
kudos to you for still having the game on, by the way, down
it's
by
on
40 points.
I'm not going to claim to tell you what happened 10 minutes after that moment, but it was just bizarre to see it. Like, what is happening here?
That's really weird.
His coach looked confused. His team was probably pissed by it, but, dude, it's a teachable moment. It's not a good look, but I'm not going to step out. But, oh, is he a leader anymore?
Nah, I don't want him anymore.
Now,
I think they straight him to Portland.
The spicy and unfortunate nature of him. What hat does he wear? What clothing does he wear every time he doesn't play? And this is right up my alley, so I'm not upset by it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Atlanta Brave gear.
Oh, he's an ATL show tag.
He's an ATL.
Big Georgia guy, right? He's from Georgia originally.
He went to Georgia. Big ATL shout A guy. Like, if there's anybody that's going to be brought in the trade, Chatta.
Ooh, bring him down. He's now done in Minnesota. Can't compete in the Western Conference.
I don't think they're in a rush at all, and they shouldn't be. Like, to our point of building, I don't think you should way overreact. I think some good stuff here, and he got hurt. That should be a part of this conversation.
They've had some very interesting comments in the aftermath of that, though. Nas Reed coming out saying we need guys to be less moody. Like, they've had an interesting 48 hours since
Randall
that
strikes
ended.
Me as somebody who has a bad game and can come off as moody. I don't know if he's the one he's talking about or referencing. I think Rudy Gobert has a little bit of this, but they're going to have to tweak. There's no doubt. But if anybody's going to be in the Giannis, Dame, you should trade him because they don't win the title stuff, it's going to be Minnesota and Ant because of the Atlanta connection.
Can we do Jeremy Grant, Rui Hachimura, and a couple of second-round picks? Can you think we can get that deal done? Think that'll do it for Anthony Edwards? Bring him to Portland?
I think Alex Rodriguez will stand up right now and tell you got a deal,
we got a deal.
Sir.
Let's go, A-Rod. I'll wear white pants to the deal. Shake on it, all right? J-Lo doesn't have to get brought up.
God, talk about buzz.
Well,
can you imagine bringing in Anthony Edwards?
I mean, it'd be an incredible move, but it's not going to happen. It is, you know, looking at the landscape, it's funny how I tease this as a Spurs versus Thunder, and we end up talking about the T-Wolves.
Well, I'm sorry.
Segment.
We didn't get to the Ant
it's
stuff.
Okay.
I meant to get that in the first
it's
hour.
It's totally fine. I mean, we can holster some of it, and I also love that the second I bring up the exciting news tonight, the first text that came is, you're totally right. It's Game 7, Canadian Sabres tonight. That is tonight. You ain't wrong, buddy. I'm very excited about that. Don't get me wrong.
We can get to the Thunder Spurs, you know, stuff in the final hour if you
this,
want.
This, to me,
it's a great series.
In the East and the West, more so the West, it's just been, can we get there? It's one of, like, it feels like Indiana's non-conference schedule. Like, I got Old Dominion, Indiana State, and, you know, Baylor School for the Blind the first 3 weeks. Can
I
we
love
just fast forward?
Shots you throw at Indiana.
Can
it's
we
great.
Just fast forward to when the games matter? And now the games matter. Now I hate both these teams. I'm rooting for both of them to lose, and I hope everybody tears all their ACLs and the Knicks win the title. To be honest with you, I'm rooting for the New York Knicks the rest of the way.
Are you? You're becoming a New York guy.
I don't want anybody else to win the title.
What if Cleveland wins?
I don't want James Harden to win a championship. Him winning a Game 7 being historically bad was hilarious and perfectly fitting.
What, did he have 9 points in that game?
Dude, I think it was less than that. I want to say he had six yesterday.
That was the Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen game.
He was like
and Sam Merrill was really good.
He made
three.
Like two field goals, and he was 2 of 10. Yeah, 2 of 10, 9 points, 0 of 6 from three. He was a plus 31. Like, I want him nowhere near a trophy that matters.
2 of 10 in a Game 7, but he somehow won it because other players lifted him.
The irony is great, isn't that? So I'm definitely rooting for New York the rest of the way, but also a meteor tonight if it can hit.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that series coming up in the final hour of the show. I got some college football things in my notes, some nuggies, if you will.
Your team's suing players.
You damn right we are. Well, come talk about being cheap. You ain't getting away with that $40,000. Bring that money back, baby. You signed a contract.
More NIL.
You signed a contract. We got to go sign a long snapper. So we'll get to that at the top of the hour. Let's get to a couple of baseball nuggies, though, from the weekend that happened, and we'll get to that next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, we got college football nuggies to get to at the top of the hour. We got our owner of the Blazers trying to beat cheap allegations.
Well,
I think we got my football program trying to beat rich allegations. Oh, yeah? You think money is no object for us? Hold my beer. Watch what we're doing.
Look, I know people want, like, there's a weird thing going on social media. Like, people want us to destroy Bill Orem.
Ah, yeah, take down
even
Bill.
Though he's going at it with city council members. Look, I don't agree with the premise of they're leaving and it's doomsday. And I can't decide what Orem writes about. That's Orem's job, not mine. I've given my takes on it. If Bill Orem wants a break, a reprieve from the Blazers becoming the Seattle Super Blazers, I give you Exhibit A on the Oregon Ducks right now. You want to talk about cheap? Holy crap, dude.
Oh, that's fantastic. We'll tell you what's going on. Top of the hour, I got some other nuggies, college football related, including a fun trivia question of how many Power Four programs, if in the 12-team playoff era, so that started in what, 12 team just started in the 14 playoff era. My apologies.
2015, right?
2014, 2015.
2015, yeah.
So if that entire era, we had the 2014 model that we all assume is going to pass,
yeah.
How many Power Four teams would have not made a college football playoff? I have that answer for you at the top of the hour.
How many teams are there in total?
That's a good question. You'd have to add.
Because I'm guessing at a number I'm not remembering.
It's about the same as what it used to be, except we've just juggled it, right? Like, other than Oregon State and Washington State. Like, all
18
the,
and 16. And
well, now it's, yeah, now it's all different. I don't know what it is. I'd say 60, 70? Does that sound right?
60 or 70, that's a gap that Oregon will sue you over.
See what you did there.
Don't mess. If this was the Huskies,
mess with the bowl,
you would have
horns.
A field day
dude.
On this story.
Nah, dude, hold the kids accountable. Hold the kids accountable, okay? Got these Gen Zers out here and don't work hard for anything.
Dusty's going to come in here. Hey, there's actually more context to that lawsuit.
Let's get to a couple of baseball nuggies, shall we? Rare weekend, mainly because my team is blown all year.
Yeah.
Where we're all happy coming in, right? You guys won a series.
I'm feeling great, dude.
The Dodgers swept the Angels this weekend.
Suzuki didn't give a walk game.
Our outfielders are allowed to hump again. Only one hump, though, after yesterday's win. They didn't three hump. They just one hump.
One pump, huh?
One pump.
A one pump hump.
Took two out of three from the first place Oakland Athletics in the AL West.
AL West is a joke.
It's a dumpster fire.
This is a year, and look, I know a local fan base is tied to this, and I don't mean, I bet on you to win the World Series, so like, calm it down. if you win the division, you're not allowed to brag.
No, you shouldn't be able to hang a banner. Doesn't count. That's not a division title.
I'm not mad at that.
That's a race to the bottom. It doesn't count. C's don't hang a banner.
My division's suddenly getting the Phillies are like in fuego.
That's
right
in
now.
My notes. I want to get to that. So also the Mariners called up a prospect that too. But yeah, you mentioned it. So and my team was at the brunt of this. I remember we were in Philly right after they fired their manager,
the Mattingly bump,
and made Mattingly the hire. And I'm pretty sure they swept us in a 3-game series.
They did. Was he like 15-3?
He's 15-4 since taking over, and now the Philadelphia Phillies, after a 6-0 win over the Pirates this weekend.
Yep.
Are above 500 for the first time since essentially the beginning of the year, 24-23. Now, you guys still have a massive lead in the NL East. Like, you know, that's probably not going to go away.
Hey, games is still doable.
But yeah, dude, it's still doable, and there's a long ways to go. And when you look at the wild card picture in the National League, we'll see what eventually ends up happening with the Central. But being above 500 at least puts you in the mix for one of those wild card spots. So I don't know if it's just simply new message, if it's just a change of I don't know what, but I'm actually happy for Donnie Baseball.
Yeah.
Why are you happy for him?
I like Don Mattingly. I feel like he's gotten the shaft at moments in his career.
Has he? Okay.
Like, he was the Dodger guy, and then they kind of ran him out.
I thought he got the shaft with the Dodgers.
Yeah, and then Roberts takes over, and, like, nothing really changed, and then they didn't shaft Roberts. Well, I know, but how many years did it take him? They didn't shaft Roberts. They easily could have fired him. He finally wins one, and now they're a dynasty, and he's considered his great manager. Mm-hmm. Mattingly kind of, and then he went to go be the manager of the Marlins, where it's like, dude, nobody's going to be good as the manager of the Marlins.
Yeah, but his boy Jeets recruited him, and
I know. I'm just happy for Don. Okay. Does he have any rings?
I don't believe so.
Because he didn't win one with the Yankees, right? He missed the window.
Wait, wasn't he a bench coach last year for
the Dodgers?
No.
The Dodgers won the World Series.
No, who was he with? Who did he come? He came from Philly from somewhere.
I'm going to look up, has Don Mattingly ever won a World Series?
I feel like he was just on the bench with somebody.
That won a World Series?
Maybe it was. Oh, he was on the Blue Jay staff. Thank you.
Oh, he was on the. Even more so.
So that's why I remember, like, when you said World Baseball. Series, I was like, oh, yeah. And then I was thinking, he was on it. Then it wasn't the Dodgers. It was the Blue Jays.
That's the first time in his career he's ever made a World Series as a player or a coach.
Any capacity.
So Don Mattingly for you is the new Dusty Baker.
Yes. Yeah. Like, he deserves. And did Dusty win one as a, I don't think, did he win one as a player? I know he won as a manager.
He won one with the Dodgers.
Did he win one with the Dodgers?
Was he there?
I thought the Astros one was his only one.
I know as a manager it was, and that was the point.
Would have been 81 if he was still on. Maybe he was off the roster at that point.
Because as a manager, he got there in 02 with the Giants, and he had Bonds, and then they blew game 7 or game 6 and then lost game 7. And then
he was on the 81 Dodgers. Yeah. Right. Okay, so he's got one as a manager, one as a player.
So, but similar, though, in terms of, like, a manager who kind of deserved one, been around baseball a long time.
Likeable, long-time baseball guy.
Exactly. Happy for Donnie Baseball. We don't need to spend more time on that on the point. Let's get to the Mariners. They got swept this weekend. Welcome to the world in the NL West. Have fun with the San Diego Padres.
Dude, they're 22-26. They're 2 games back.
It's ridiculous. Don't hang a banner. You can't hang a banner.
Third place.
It's dumb. Colt Emerson, though, the big news for them over the weekend was Colt Emerson was called up. He's their top prospect, 6th overall in all of baseball.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Had a nice little. The videos are always great when you get the call up. Videos of, like, hey, why don't you jump in a car, drive up I-5 because they were in Tacoma. He was in the lineup and then thrown up. They were in Sunday Night Baseball last night against the Padres. They lost the game. He didn't get a hit, but he did score a run. And then I believe Mariner fan, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't J.P. Crawford end up getting hurt last night? So he might stick around a little bit longer because he was called up originally because Donovan went on the DL. And now I think Crawford got hurt too, and so he might hang around a little bit as an infielder. But their season has not gone great, according to plan. I watched a little bit of the game on Saturday because there's nothing else on, and they were on Fox, so I could actually watch them. But, hey, top prospect, get calls up. That's always a big headline.
You want to know how crappy that division is? They're third place in the division. They're a plus-6 run differential, which is the most in the division. The first-place team is the Athletics at a minus 13. Like, just as a reference point, my team is a plus 98, and the Phillies, who are red hot, are a minus 17. That's crazy.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
Is that
man?
The worst division in the sport?
Yes. Yes.
I think it
it's
is.
It's the NFC South.
I'm looking for it. Yeah, I think it is.
You're the Carolina Panthers.
That's nuts.
And I don't see anybody, like, the Mariners have the best argument for a team that can, like, all right, right the ship. Like, they have the most talent, I would argue, on their roster.
Oh, they could easily win the division and be a threat.
Well, yeah, and I'm just saying, like, they could go on a run where they win 9 or 10 in a row, and you're like, okay, there it is, Seattle. We've been kind of waiting for that all year. They've been kind of a one-step-forward, two-steps-backwards team all year. Every time they feel like they're finding their groove, then all of a sudden here come the Padres, and they get swept. And you're kind of right back to where you started, where you were encroaching on that 500 number.
Yeah.
And then here comes another losing streak your way.
So Crawford got plunked with a pitch in his left tricep.
So he might get, I mean, that's the unique part. Like, the Giants called up their top prospect, and it's always weird when they don't get a ton of at-bats. Like, what are we doing here?
That's the exciting part of the call-up, like, is you think you're going to see him play.
Why is he a rotation? So if he's
see JP for a game and see what Colt does at shortstop.
Yeah, and Donovan, who got hurt, he's on the IL for 10 days. So I don't know how long he's going to be at the big league level, but it's always, I mean, he's top prospect, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, getting called up over the weekend. Any other baseball dealings that enticed you this weekend? How about Paul Skeens hasn't walked a guy in like a month.
He damn near had a no-hitter.
Bryce
hit one 800 miles off of him.
They had somebody try and bunt in the fourth inning to break up a perfect game, if I saw that correctly. I think, was that the series in Philly? Were they in Philly? Yeah.
Well, we mentioned
they were in Pittsburgh, but they were playing the Phillies.
Okay, in Pittsburgh. Got it.
We mentioned it in the first hour, but I want to highlight Bobby Witt Jr.'s fake catch on an errant throw that fooled the base runner so bad that his coach and his teammate in St. Louis were telling him to go, but he didn't believe him.
Go.
That's one of the best baseball plays I think you'll see. And the only other thing on my, because everything else we've kind of touched on.
Yeah.
How many home runs do you think Judge is going to finish with?
What's he at right now? Is he on a pretty historic pace? I'm not going to pretend like
I'm watching.
About
a week ago, I checked. They said he was on pace for 67, but right now he sits at,
I mean, he's
16
one of a kind,
home
dude.
Runs.
He's one of a kind. This is what sets him apart. He does it year after year after year after year. It's not an aberration. It's not. I mean, he is the most dominant power hitter of this generation.
We talk about Raleigh, right? We'll see if Cal can get it when he comes back. So right now it's at 62.
Okay, 62 pace. It'd be great. He can break the American League record again. Congratulations on that. They'll cut into our college football. Speaking of which, let's go to college football to start the final hour. Is this the amount of money that you would find somebody over? How many teams would have not made a playoff had it always been, in the four-team era, a 24-team playoff? Some other NBA notes. We got a load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.